These days, most people get most of their news off the internet. There's very little that actually comes directly from a news source.
And I think the issue with relying on the internet too heavily is the fact that just because you're reading an article on the internet does not mean that you're reading a publication that comes from a reliable source.
Well, even the journalist story might not be a reliable source,
especially
when we've seen stuff coming out of the Middle East and you find out that Hezbollah or the Palestinian Authority have their own reporters. That's part of the problem, too, is that there's very few people in the news desk now who can actually understand, say, some of the footage that's been given to them. And the workplace they have, they really haven't got the ability or the time to analyze it and start questioning what they're really seeing.
What would be the best advice you'd be able to provide to the youth who are interested in perhaps pursuing a career in international relations and affairs, but don't necessarily know what sources they should rely on in order to obtain adequate information?
Trust no sources. Continually question what you're learning. And again, always go back to the basics. Keep educating yourself. And sometimes you just have to go to a place, if you can, and look at it for yourself.
I did some research on you, and I found out that you've contributed to a lot of lectures, academic lectures. You previously did a lecture at Yale University. One of the lectures you did was called The Evolution of Terrorists into Gangsters. And that was, as I mentioned, that was addressed at Yale University in 1994. Would you be able to discuss the impact of that lecture?
Well, for me, it was an epiphany when I was looking at working on the black market cigarettes and firearms, and I realized that, you know, the Mohawk Warriors had made this transition in about 15 years from being a militant group to defend Aboriginal sovereignty to basically being the front thugs for a concern of a syndicate of organized criminals.
Right.
But it got me thinking, and I kept looking at more and more groups, and eventually actually worked out a theory that you actually have two sources of funding for a terrorist group.
Which are?
Either a terrorist group is self-funded, and in which case it remains minor. And this would be something like, say, for example, the Animal Liberation Front, or, say, anti-abortionists, where they fund their own activities, and they will always remain small. Or you turn to organized crime and start with revolutionary bank robbing, social justice kidnappings for ransom, or increasingly turn to narcotics. And the point is, once you start down that path, there's an evolution that cannot be reversed. Whereas the decades go by, the terrorist group will, the cause will matter less and less, and the business will matter more and more. Until you finally come to a stage, and this is a concern now in many contemporary conflicts, is that the people who are involved in terrorist groups and similar types of organizations can't give the quarrel up because their business is based on it. Mm-hmm. And we see this in Ulster. You know, when your job skills are, you know, thuggery, bomb making, and running a collection racket, what are you going to do if the group folds up? Run a Starbucks? Start selling Volvos?
And I think another issue is the fact that when you grow up and that's all you know and that's all that you're taught to do, you can't really function in a society normally. You have a certain group of friends that you affiliate with. You have,
well,
perhaps...
Well, that actually connects to a more central problem. Again, a lot of people, if you've done something that you know has been in some part of your mind wrong, you will constantly have to validate what you've done. And it's one of the features, you know, anyone involved in a terrorist group, they usually begin by lying to themselves and start to suppress the truth of their own activities more and more deeply all the time. And you often see this, especially even long after a terrorist group has hung up their arms, that they're constantly trying to reinterpret or reinvent history to fit their own narrative so they can live with themselves.
What is your opinion about these terrorist groups? What policies should be implemented by Canada in order to prevent a potential terrorist attack from happening here?
Well, terrorism is actually immensely complicated. I've studied it for 35 years, and, you know, for every answer I've got two more questions. But there is one fact that I think is, you know, my take home. And when I'm giving my what I call my Terrorism 101 lecture, I usually begin with pictures of people like Lech Walesa, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi. And I point out that they changed the world without recourse to violence. So if your cause is important, if you're really working on something that's unjust, you can change it without killing anyone. Then I switch to a whole series of actors like Carlos Ilyich Ramirez, you know, Carlos the Jackal.
Yes.
Yasser Arafat, Ayman al-Zawahiri. And I point out they're all the well-educated sons of well-off fathers. They all had the world open to them. They could have done anything they wanted to do. They all deliberately chose to become terrorists. And there is always choice involved. So the real question is not whether the cause is important or not. The real point is someone's desire to reinvent themselves in a more heroic mode, to be the person who storms the gate of heaven and throws down the high towers. So that's the choice that's always there. Yeah, you get some mooks in a place that, say, like the West Bank, you join a terrorist group because it's the only thing for you. But most of the people who are really involved in it have deliberately chosen to become deliberately involved in terrorism.
There has been a lot of discussion about issues pertaining to cybersecurity, terrorism, the possibility of an electrical EMP attack, which is electromagnetic pulse attack. What is your opinion about the possibility of an EMP attack happening?
Well, it's always possible, but EMP, a lot of people, again, don't really understand it and the physics of it. But, of course, the other thing is our electrical system is already regularly assaulted with EMP attacks by the sun. On a regular basis. It's actually better shielded than most people suspect. But there's two aspects to consider about some of these scenarios of, say, like a terrorist trying to shut down the power grid. One is there are an awful lot of people who are fixated on disasters. There are some disasters that are worth fixating on, but there are a lot of other people who take some idea and run with it. I ran into them all the time. They don't know much about it, but it sounds tremendously exciting. The other thing is that the EMP or, say, a cyber attack is really not a terrorist cup of tea. There are nation states and other actors that will try and mess your economy up, and these things are techniques of war or some state of conflict short of actual war. But the terrorist often has a need to see physical destruction, to see fear in people's faces. So, you know, messing up 400 websites is not really as satisfying as getting a truck bomb delivered somewhere.
That's true. So what advice would you be able to, let's say, provide to the youth who perhaps attend certain conferences or events where there are experts and people who discuss issues pertaining to terrorism, cybersecurity threats, and EMP? What would you advise someone who's learning more about these issues?
Read the bio notes. Find out who's really involved in the work and who's just up there talking about something. You know, if you've got someone, say, talking about cybersecurity and they're from the Citizens Group and the Monk Center, then yes, they know something about it. You've got some other people who are just repeating what everybody knows or what they learned off of Wikipedia.
Wow. Moving on, Mr. Thompson, I wanted to discuss another one of your lectures that you did in 2011. This one was called Fourth Generation Warfare and the Challenge of Social Media. We previously talked about some of the issues pertaining to the media and the use of social media. What would you say if you were to control the media yourself? How would you control it, and what vision would you have for the news and for the information that's being fed to us today?
Well, actually, the last time I could think of was someone really tried to control all the media. was in 1999 in Milosevic in Serbia, trying to control all the inputs the Serbian people had, and he couldn't control the internet. So no matter what he did with the television, with the newspapers, and the radio, Serbs were getting other information through the internet. And I, at the time, I thought I was really optimistic about this because I thought, okay, this actually means that old-fashioned propaganda, and you know, people who want to use the word propaganda really got to read Jacques Ellul's book on the subject before they use the word. But it made propaganda impossible. Problem is, 10 years later, I sort of realized that the error was that now that with the internet, people propagandize themselves. When I described that situation where 25 years ago we all had the same media sources and argued over what a story meant, nowadays everybody goes to the internet and they select the news sources, most of them that basically validate what they know or accord with their own interests. There's very few people that will even bother to read something that is a perspective they're going to disagree with. That's one of the first problems. So nobody can control the press anymore, and nobody should even try, but even if you want to, it's going to be impossible.
It's impossible due to a lot of sources, and I completely understand it would be difficult to control the media. But at the same time, let's say you had your own program. What are some of the topics that you would
Well, what I would really be asking people to do is to think for themselves, to dispense with cognitive dissonance, if that's possible, to throw out conspiracy theory, to always go back to the basics and affirm everything. When you try to understand someone's behavior, you know, try to understand the roots of their behavior. If you've got a source of about conflict somewhere, try to understand, again, logistics, weapon systems, everything else. Make sure you know geography. And always to think for yourself, to really think. Because that's actually one of the problems in the modern world, is that it's become much more difficult, especially with the internet, for people to really get down and seriously analyze problems.